Go back before time, before all galaxies. There he is, the spoken word, creating all things. Can you see him? The word became flesh and dwelt among us, the exact representation of God's glory. Can you see him? Beyond reindeers and ribbons, beyond presents and trees, the real reason for the season is God in the flesh, majesty in a manger. The God who made all galaxies, who came for you. So go out tonight and stare into the night sky. Count the stars if you dare. See the work of his hands. He wants us to see it, and in it, he wants us to see him. The stars are an ever-present reminder of Christ's midnight ride, the one that came upon a midnight clear. And perhaps you, like me, will whisper softly under your breath, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews and of the world? For I have seen the stars that he has made, and I've come to worship him."
You're listening to Life on the West Side. Here's Nathan Guy.
When you go outside tonight and stare up into the night sky, look for the dimmest light, the farthest star. With the help of the Webb Space Telescope, we've been able to see the most distant star in the universe just last year. This might sound sci-fi, but it sits, quote, near a ripple in the fabric of space, end quote. I kid you not. The star is lovingly called Arendelle, which is Old English for morning star. You can already guess it's far, but I think we need help to realize how far. First, we have to go the speed of light. Now, the speed of light is very, very fast. I mean, really fast. I mean, 671 million miles an hour fast. And if you got in a spaceship and you went the speed of light for 1 second, you would go all the way around the globe 7 times. That's fast. And you know, the sun seems pretty far away. But if you went the speed of light, you could get there in 8 minutes. But what about Arendelle? If someone were to stand on the star and turn on the world's most powerful flashlight, that light would shoot towards us, hurtling through space at 671 miles an hour and reach our eyes 28 billion years later. While you take that in, listen to these words from Isaiah and Job. "I alone am God. I am the first. I am the last. It was my hand that laid the foundations of the earth. The palm of my right hand spread out the heavens above. I spoke, and they came into being. He measured the oceans in the palm of his hand, and with the width of just one hand, he measures out the limits of the sky. God is high above the heavens, higher than the highest stars." Could it be? Could it be that there's one greater and farther than all we can see or imagine? Infinitely greater and infinitely farther? And could it be that the same one who holds the heavens in the palm of his hand came to us as a babe in Bethlehem? I want you to come with me on a journey back before all galaxies. Back here, there is just God, and there is only one God. But we also know that God is love, and love involves giving and receiving. He's beautiful, but beauty involves a beholder. And that's why Christians speak of one God, but three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And that'll do. But we need more to make sense of the story. We experience God as Son when he comes to us in Bethlehem, or when he's pronounced such at his baptism. But what we experienced in flesh was there before all worlds, and we need language for it. The Apostle John gives us language for it. In the beginning was the one who is called the Word. The Word was with God and was truly God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. And with this Word, God created all things. Nothing was made without the Word. Everything that was created received its life from him. And his life gave light to everyone. The light keeps shining in the dark, and darkness has never put it out. The spoken word. The first creative action in the Genesis story, after introducing the formless, nameless void over which the Spirit would hover, the text says, "And God spoke." The Word was with God. But his Word was not created. His Word did the creating. And this is why the Word was with God, and God was the Word. As one translation puts it, what God was, the Word was. And there he is in the beginning, the spoken word thundering out, "Let there be light," and there was light. By his word, he made creatures, oh, so many creatures. As a gift of pure love, God made the creatures, and to crown his work, he made you and me. He made man first and then woman. After all, you save the best for last. And the language there is so telling. Everything in all creation formed in response to the voice of God, by the word of God, and humans were made with the hands of God. You and all of creation, we were formed by the Lord of life, who would later touch a blind man's eyes and wipe a grateful widow's tears. What I'm telling you is a Christian story, the Christian story, not a story centered on a world, but a story centered on Christ. The famous sculptor Michelangelo once gave a glimpse of how he went about sculpting such beautiful angels out of marble. He said, "I saw the angel in the marble and carved until I set him free." It takes fresh eyes to see it. The mighty oak that lay within the tiny acorn, the professional ballet dancer within the heart of your tutu wearing 1-year-old. But it's there. More than meets the eye, the end product in full view to those who have eyes to see it. And for centuries, when Israel told the story of creation, it looked and sounded like a story about us. Creation was about a world over a period of days with humans as the crowning achievement. But that was just the marble. The gospel of Jesus Christ through his servant John begins with these familiar words, "In the beginning." Only now the center of the story is not a world, it's the Word. The Word that is with God and was God. All things were made, yes, but they were made by him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. There's life and light in the creation story. But John tells us, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." It's he who shines in the darkness. He, the true light, which enlightens every man who is coming into the world. There's a man in the creation story, But it's not Adam the first. It's Adam the second, who all along was Adam the prototype. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. He came unto his own. And to those who would accept him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God, born like Adam, not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. John retells the whole creation story with Christ in the beginning. Christ as the light, Christ as the life, Christ as the Adam in whom is life. Creation is not primarily a story about you and me. It's first a story about Christ, a story about the Word. For long before the Word of God came to earth to take on flesh, the Word of God came to earth to create all flesh. God created the universe by his Son, begins the book of Hebrews. And everything will someday belong to the Son. God's Son has all the brightness of God's own glory and is like him in every way. By his own mighty word, he holds the universe together. After the Son had washed away our sins, he sat down at the right side of the glorious God in heaven, the one who commands all of his angels to worship him. It's the scriptures that also say, "In the beginning, Lord, you were the one who laid the foundation of the earth and created the heavens. They will all disappear and wear out like clothes, but you will last forever. You will roll them up like a robe and change them like a garment. But you are always the same, and you will live forever." You are always the same, Hebrews begins. And how does Hebrews end? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Did you hear that? Yesterday, today, and forever. And so it is in this first lesson exploring the cosmic scope of the Christmas story, the creation-wide effects of God invading our world, that I'd like to leave you standing there in your yard, looking up into the night sky with three observations. First, every single thing that the light touches on its path from that distant star to you, every single solitary molecule was made by the Word of God. God created the universe by his Son. He sustains all things through his powerful word. Even the stars, says the psalmist, the starry host, they were all created by the breath of his mouth. Don't go by this point too quickly. Everything in all creation owes its very existence to the Word of God. If you were to travel to the farthest reaches of the furthest galaxy, you'd find a sign on it that says, "I built that," signed by God. It makes me pause before I size anything or anyone up. If everything in all creation is the product of the Word of God, then now I understand Jesus' words. Don't call anything I made unclean. Second, this powerful word that spoke and then formed all of creation came to us in the tiny baby of Bethlehem. The God who spoke creation into existence back then has in these last days spoken to us. The word has come to us by his Son. Christians believe that Jesus was fully God and fully man, which means he was fully a baby. As he lay in the crib, the infant Jesus was not looking up at the stars and thinking to himself, "I remember making all of those." No, he was gurgling like Henry. But it's also true that even in that moment, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in him. It's no wonder that wise men from the East didn't wait until Jesus was healing the sick or casting out demons to worship him. They didn't wait until he died on the old Roman cross and rose from the depths of the grave to worship him. They didn't wait till Sabbath to worship him. They came to the baby boy and said, "We've seen his star, and we have come to worship him." When I consider the heavens, the moon, and the stars that God has ordained, when I gaze at the stars, I too cannot help but worship him. Him who traveled through time and eternity to become like us. Third, the powerful creating word of God, his only son, not only came, he came to us. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as one of us. That changes how we see us. Because he made all creation, and he became one of us, every single thing and person declares the glory of God. There's no such thing as secular space and holy space. There's no such thing as a pure saint in whom God dwells and a pure sinner in whom there is nothing worthy. Oh, no. God has left his imprint all over creation. He wrote his name on every human heart and on the canvas of the sky as he sailed by. Because God traveled the Milky Way, and because human blood runs through his veins, we see a glimpse of God in everyone and everything, if we're willing to look for it. And because he existed before all galaxies, there is nothing we can find that doesn't bear the imprint of God. Psalm 147 in verse 4 tells us that God knows how many stars there are because he named every one. And if that's true, how much more valuable are you? For he not only knows your name, he wants to give you his name. For there will be a day when all of us will rise from our graves to meet the Lord in the air. And Daniel tells us that the righteous will shine like the brightness of the sky, glitter like the stars forever and ever. Remembering that hope is important. It keeps us going. Peter encourages his readers to remember the words of the prophets until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Three observations. The Word created all things. The Word is the baby in Bethlehem, and the Word came to us, among us, and one of us. These three change what we see everywhere we look. You know, it was God himself who took Abraham by the hand and said, "Come out and look into the night sky. Look toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to count them. So shall your descendants be." The stars tell a story about a God who created them, who created you, and is creating a people for his glory. So go out tonight and stare into the night sky. Count the stars if you dare. See the work of his hands. He wants us to see it, and in it, he wants us to see him. The stars are an ever-present reminder of Christ's midnight ride, the one that came upon a midnight clear. Stop and see how all of creation is commentary on his majesty. See Jesus, who long before Arendelle called himself the bright and morning star. And perhaps you, like me, will whisper softly under your breath, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews and of the world? For I have seen the stars that he has made, and I've come to worship him."
Thanks for joining. No one has ever loved you like Jesus Christ. I hope you feel that love in every sermon that's preached on this podcast. You can find more sermons, transcripts, study guides at nathanguy.com. Please stay tuned for another lesson and rest in the love of Christ.